Okay. So we're going to start today just with a little bit of a chatzi shir. Because I want to get to the clock on time to be there before we can get seats before the Rishon Tzion begins. So let's jump in. This is a beautiful, beautiful, I'm saying before, this is the beginning. The very beginning, this is the first official din of Leil HaSeder. The way the Masechta is organized, that this last paragraph where we finally officially get up to Leil HaSeder. Obviously, Matzah Mar up here gets snuck into the second paragraph, but officially, it's now that we get up to Leil HaSeder. And the Mishnah and Tzadik Tes, as you saw, has three dinim. What are the three dinim? The opening Mishnah of Arba Tzachim, 1, 2, and 3. The first din is still not about Leil HaSeder. The first din is. Right? First thing is still a din of Erev Pesach afternoon. Erev Pesach Samach L'mincha. V'yochol Adam Ad Shetechshach. Tzadik Tes Samach Beis. That's still a din of afternoon. Then, and that's that first line launches the Gemara into close to 10 blot of Gemara that have to do with, end up having less to do with Pesach and more to do with every Shabbos Yontem. Kiddush and Havdalah, Kish Makom Suda, Torah Mavdil, Torah Mekash, and so on. So beautiful, famous, very pretty sugyas. And then this next line in the Mishnah, Afilu Ani Shebi Yisrael Yochal Ad Sheyaseh. Even the poorest Jew should not eat. Rashi points out, now we've switched from talking about Erev Pesach to talk about Leil HaSeder. Lo Yochal Ad Sheyaseh, you can't eat without doing it. Say, but then the third din, Lo Yifchasu Lo Mi Arbakosu Shal Yayin Afilu Min HaTamchut. Should not Yifchasu, not Yiftechu, Yifchasu, the Shorish Peches Tav. The same as the word pachos, less than. They should not give him less than 4 cups of wine, even from the tamchir. Who is he? Now she should not give him. Who's they and who's him? So him is the person we just spoke about, the Ani Shebi Yisrael. Even the poorest Jew has to eat Be'aseva, and even the poorest Jew has to drink arba kos l'shal yayin. But arba kos l'shal yayin, someone has to provide it. What's a tamchir? So Rashi explains. Exactly. Rashi points out, if you're looking about the first paragraph of Baba Basra, is the main discussion about the official tzedakah systems. Now we have different food technology, we do things a little bit differently. But the Gemara talks about every kehila, we have a weekly collection of money and a daily collection of food, weekly disbursement of money to the poor and a daily disbursement of food. Rashi points out, it's a Mishnah in Mesachas Peah. Mesachas Peah is about primarily about Lekat Shikha and Peah, Maeser Ani, the official Matnas Aniyim, the Din Daraisa, of if you're a Jewish farmer in Israel, what do you have to give out, leave in your field to the poor. Then at the end of the Mesachta, some general discussion about giving stock and taking care of Aniyim, even if you're not a Jewish farmer in Israel. So the Mishnah tells us that they would give out cash, kupa is a pushka. We give out cash to a Jew who didn't have funds to support himself for a week. And then we give out food to someone who didn't have enough for 2 meals to support himself for the day. If you don't have enough money to put food on the table today, tonight, so then you eat the tamchid, like a little large glass plate, and then we'll go around before refrigeration. They will go around knocking on doors every single day, knocking every door in town, and everyone with a plate. The davets will go around the plate. A big dish, and everyone would take, put on a piece of chicken or a piece of kugel or some bread, whatever it was, put some food on the plate, and then they would go, and the poorest of the poor would gather around, and the Gabbai Tzaka would give out food. So every day they're picking up bread, they're picking up eggs, they're picking up a little chicken, whatever it is, but Erev Pesach, it's not enough to give a little bit of bread or eggs. You have to give a bottle of wine. You have to give arba kosos for each Ani. Okay. Now it was now focusing, maybe later in the month we'll get to Arba Kosos. But now our attention is on the middle din. I feel like Ani should be Yisrael Leyocha Ad Sheyaseh. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Well, we have 7 words to go on the Mishnah. But what do we know about Haseba from the Mishnah? Just with open eyes. What does the Mishnah tell us about Haseba?
It has to do it.
You gotta do it. It's a chiyuv. Good. Number two, it's a chiyuv even for the poor, which is a chiyuv. We don't say, even if you're poor, it's still to say Kriya Shema. Even if you're poor, it's still to bench. Even if you're wealthy, it's still to punch phone. At Machas HaShek, I understand the Torah has to tell me that it applies, Dal Asher doesn't matter. But And our bakosos, I understand it applies even to the ani. You have to say that because we have to provide him with the one. And in terms of the gabay tzedakah shouldn't say, oh, that's a luxury, that's not a necessity, we can't, no. That's absolutely critical. But haseva doesn't cost money. You don't have to recline on a leather chaise longue. If you have something comfortable, gavalik. But you don't have to. Gemara is going to say in Daf Kuvches. Gemara says that the one Amora remembers when he was in yeshiva, a bunch of yeshiva brachim having a seder, they didn't go home for Pesach. So the Gemara says, at least in that yeshiva, and it says they didn't have, they weren't well funded. So how did they have a seba? Sounds like they sat in a circle, and each guy was leaning, zaginin abirki da hadadi, we would lean on each other's knees. It sounds like they were all like in a circle, everyone leaning on the neck, you have to lean on something. Not exactly the acme of luxury. Again, if you could do it luxuriously, great. But what's the Mishnah telling me, even the Anishim of Yisrael? So that already tells me the what? I would have had a Havmiyah that they only do it if you're rich, because as we're going to see, it's Zeichel Lecheiris. It's supposed to be a way of demonstrating
wealthiness.
Right. Wealth and comfort. I could have thought, well, what type of cruel joke is this? The fellow's in tattered clothing, and he's gonna, maybe it's meaningless for him to do a seva. No, even though he's poor, he's gonna get into the mode, into the zone of the Ben Choron. And then, what else does the Mishnah tell me about a seva? It's a chiyuv even for the ani, which tells me that it is supposed to be conveying a message of osher. What else do I know about a seva? It's for achila. Right? It's a way. It's not something you don't just lie there and do haseba. Haseba is a way of eating. Now, what's obviously left hanging is what? Right. Well, what are you supposed to eat the haseba? Anything? Just everything? Anything? Or particular things? So the Gemara right away seems to give an answer to that. We'll have to return to this question. The Gemara right away says that's the Gemara's first question is, well, what do you eat the haseba? And the Gemara answers, yes, and no, and maybe, and then within the maybe is sometimes and maybe not. Right? And right, I said the Kufchas of Aleph, if you answer something else, Chachi Yasev, Matzah Sar Chaseba, Mar Ein Sar Chaseba. Those two things are clear, or so they seem. Matzah, yes, Mar, no. Why? Why Matzah, yes, and Mar, no? What does Rashi say? Right? Matzah's Chayrus, and Mar is Abdus. Matzah is a sign of freedom. And the whole idea of Haseba is you're demonstrating your B'nai Chorin. Mor is a sign of Abdus. It will be antithetical to Mor. It will be a physical oxymoron. It will be a physical contradiction to be massive for Mor. Right. Okay, so number one, that reinforces what we saw in the Mishnah. Right? There's a Chiddush that the Ani has to do Haseba. Because, again, the Haseba is supposed to be a meaningful communication of an idea. Okay, we understand why, but the same notion tells us you're going to do a seva for matzah, but not for mar. Not enough just to eat food b'haseva; it has to be the right food. It has to be food which is conveying the same message of chayrus as the act of haseva. So matzah, yes; mar, or no. Number two, as an aside, what chiddush do we see for matzah? What's interesting about matzah tzar haseva? One thing which we're not going to deal with just yet, we'll get to in the later shir, is... good. One thing we'll get to later shir is the Gemara is still left a little ambiguous. We eat matzah more than once in the course of the Seder. So it's not 100% clear which matzah. Talking about the matzah at the beginning, talking about the afikoman, that we'll have to get back to. But Ben Tzion made an important point, which is that we're assuming that matzah is a sign of cheres. Now matzah is very complicated. You begin to think about not only obviously the way you make matzah is very complicated, but also the message, the significance, the symbolism of matzah, it's multiple symbolisms. Right? Because on the one hand, matzah is lechem oni. Right? And matzah is the way they ate when they were avadim. Because no one gave them a chance to, well, you don't have the luxury when you're an eved of you're going to let your challah rise for 2-3 hours before I cover it with a moist towel and let it rise for 3 hours. You put together your dough, you throw it in the oven, you take it out, you jam it down your mouth, and then you run off to work. So it's lechem oni in the sense of this is the way slaves eat. So matzah is a zecher to avdus, but also, as you pointed out, zecher to cheres. How's zecher to cheres? Because Kibbe Chippah, right? It reminds us of how rapidly HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim. Okay, what wants to happen now, it happened right now. So quickly, we didn't have time. So Matzah is really both. Matzah is Zecher Avdus and Lecheres. So here we're assuming that primarily Zecher Lecheres. Where else, by the way, where is there a Mishnah that assumes that Matzah is predominantly Zecher Lecheres? A Mishnah that we say in the Haggadah that you all know well. Right. So what, how do you explain, what's a core explanation of, he said, secretiveness, that's fine, you got to explain what you're doing. It's not just to tell the story, you have to relate to the physical items on the table, or the visual aids. So what's the official explanation of that Mishnah for Matzah? Matzah zushan ochem al shema, which Pshat is only give in the Matzah. The Chayrus one or the obvious one? The Chayrus one, right? It's lohispik b'tekem, Shabbos Eino La'achmet, the Kodesh Baruch Hu took us out so rapidly. So that Mishnah focuses primarily on the Chayrus, and this Gemara also says, the fact that we do have Seba on Matzah, Rashi says, why? Because Chayrus. Apparently the Matzah is both, but Chayrus is dominant. Marar is pure, Abdus. Nothing else going on, Marar, other than the bitterness. It's a simple one-message food. The Marar is pure, Abdus. So there's nothing to negotiate. You're not going to, if Haseba is a meaningful way of communicating an idea of Chayrus, so then the Haseba and the Mar don't mix. Yeah. Question.
Going back to a little bit to what we were talking about before.
Sure.
When you say you have to give 4 cups of wine, does that also mean not only do you have to give the wine, but you also have to give 4 cups?
Oh, you mean glass, the actual glass?
Or whatever it is. I'm just assuming that they have two cups.
Just 1 cup.
Four.
There's a famous Maisa Seder based on Beis HaLevi. The famous, you ever know the Beis HaLevi Maisa about the Seder? A very deep Maisa. Beis HaLevi's son, he had more than one son, but his famous son, his most famous son to us anyhow, is his son Reb Chaim Salvechi, Reb Chaim Brisker. It was mentioned just the other day that on Reb Chaim's Matzeva, Shechta said, there's Rav mentioned in Shir, that Reb Chaim's Matzeva, it didn't say that he was Rav Brisk, it didn't say he was a Rashiv and Balazhin, didn't say that he was a Mechadish, he was a Goyin Hatzim. All it said is that Matzeva apparently was a Chaim ben Yosef Dov Halevi, Ish Chesed. He was a man of Chesed. Reb Chaim apparently was a... We sometimes don't, if you actually listen to Reb Chaim's stories, he was known, he was the one who told the reporter, the journalist who asked him, did you find the job of rabbi? Reb Chaim said, the job of the rabbi is to walk through the town to look for the people who are downtrodden, people who need to be taken care of physically, emotionally. And he was very joyful. The kids used to pray, supposedly the kids used to, people had memories of like the little kids in Brisk, like climbing all over, if you play horsey, all the little kids in Brisk would climb all over the roof. Interesting, that picture. It was very, very friendly, gregarious, very caring. So they say about when he was a Rosh Yeshiva Volozhin, he was a big schmoozer, Reb Chaim Brisker. So much so, the joke was, the Gemara says, there's a debate in Gleir and Sachs Kiddushin, how do you, should you get married a little bit later so you can learn more, or should you get married earlier and you'll learn after you're married? So the Gemara in the discussion, one of the lines the Gemara has is, Rechaim b'tzavar av yasb b'tara. The argument to get married a little bit later is, you're going to get married earlier, you're going to have a millstone around your neck. You're going to have the responsibility to provide for your family, to earn a living. It's going to get in the way of learning. So why don't you, not in an exaggerated way, but you'll delay getting married for another year or two, if another year or two to learn before you take on adult financial responsibility. Rechayim b'tzavaro, you have the millstone around your neck, yasek b'torah, you're going to be able to learn, how's that going to work? So the line in Velashin apparently was Reb Chaim b'tzavar of Yasek b'Torah. If Reb Chaim ran your neck, he'd be like be walking up and down the aisles with a take a guy to shmooze in the middle of the morning seder, and then walking with his arm around the guy's shoulder. So that was the line. Reb Chaim b'Torah. That's how I'm supposed to learn when I have Reb Chaim around my neck. So he got it from his father. This lady was incredible, with a brilliant mind and an incredibly caring person and brilliant Baal Chesed. So Reb Chaim says so that story goes that the fellow in came to one of Beis HaLevi's Baal Batim came to him before Pesach. He said, Rabbi, I have a Shaila. What's the Shaila? Pesach Shaila. What's the Shaila? Shaila is, can I be Yotze Arba Kosas with milk? Sometimes we allow you to be you would say some dinim of kushal bracha chamar medina, maybe I can make havdalah and beer instead of wine. So I want to make, can I make yotzei arba kosos leila seder with milk? Famous story, right? So what was the slave says, not that he was allergic to wine, that he couldn't afford the wine. But his lady says, instead of giving you a psak, I'll answer your shiloh with a few dollars. So he goes to the desk and takes out some of the most chitim that had been collected and gives to this fellow, says, here, you can buy wine for Pesach. Hakasha Sameach. So the Rebbetzin notices how much he had given. Way more than you need for a bottle or two of wine. He gave a lot of money. So he says to the Rebbetzin, if he's asking about milk for the kosos, it's not only wine that he can't afford. If he's asking for milk for kosos, obviously it means he can't afford meat or chicken for yontif either. Otherwise he wouldn't be having milchiks for avokosos. Obviously his plan is he's going to have milchiks and parv. So he needs more. You can't just look at the shiloh presented. You have to think. You're doing chesed. You have to be brilliant in chesed too. You have to act proactively, think about what does the other person need and how could I provide. In a chanami, you have to provide whatever. Obviously, if the person doesn't have cups, literally doesn't have drinking ware, that's a need they're going to have every day, not just Leila Seder. I do have to provide that also. Absolutely. So coming back here, so Gemara says, okay, Masa needs a seva, Gemara does not need a seva. Again, just Pasha, just reading the language of the Gemara and Rashi, ready to see, again, reinforcing the, again, ambiguity in terms of what is Masa mean, which we'll have to return to in a later shir. Where does Afikoman fit in? We'll have to come back to that. And already pushing the idea that we saw glimmerings of in the Mishnah that we do care about the context of Haseba because Haseba is supposed to convey an idea. So we do not say you have to be wealthy in order to do Haseba. No. I feel the only should be Israel. Even the poor person can step out of his situation and be a Ben Chorin for those moments. But we do say Matzah yes, but Mara no. Maror haseba don't mix. And the question is, how about yayin? So, now, if I would ask you, based on what we know that matzah tarach haseba and maror ain't tarach haseba, what would you have said about yayin? Yes or no? I would say yes. Right? Ezra says yes, for sure. Yayin for sure. Isn't that a symbol of freedom? So the Gemara right away says, maybe. Or sort of. Right? Imish veder nachman, tarach haseba, imish veder nachman, ain't tarach haseba, have two different reports. What did the Amor of Nachman say? Did they say that Yain needs a save or not? So often you would have said it's a machlokes between Talmidim and Nachman. As you could have said, sometimes the Torah of Nachman said yes, sometimes the Nachman said no. The Gemara says no. Velo pligi, not a machlokes, it's different cases. Ha betarte kasi kamoi, ha betarte kasi basroi. He said both. In one case he was talking about the first two, the other case he was talking about the last two. And then as you saw, the Gemara says, but we're still not sure about what? We're still not sure about which is which, right? Did he say first two yes, last two not? Did he say first two not and last two yes? Now, I want to read the next couple lines of Gemara carefully. Because it's going, the next couple lines, before we even get to the Ran, next couple lines are going to advance just our understanding of this basic idea that we already saw in the Mishnah and the Gemara, in the early part of the Gemara. Amr lo haigis. Gemara says, but there was a machlokes in terms of how to interpret Rav Nachman. This way or that way. I'm going to like Isa. Trekos. The one version is Trekos to come in Boa Seba. The first two Kosa do need a Seba. Why? Has to do come Masal Acheris. Now is when the Acheris is starting. Trekos is about to write Lobo a Seba. My Dabara, the last one, the first two Kosas are the Kosa of Kiddush and the Kosa of Ashar Galadu, which is at the end of Sipur Zir. That's right. And that's a cup. The second cup is what takes us through Magad. The last two cups are for benching and hollow. So the first day of the Gemara is at the first two. That's when things are happening. That's when the Cheres is starting. The last two Kosas is already old hat. My Dahava, Hava, it's old history. What was. The Cheres already happened. It's old news. So maybe we should be Mesiv Dafka by the first two. The good Svar. So what is the second day hold? What is the second day hold? Maybe Tarta Kazibas Amri Lahidis, the other is the opposite. That's when you have the chayrus, the last two. The first two not, by first two, we're still saying about Mayinu. And why do we still say about Mayinu? We don't say about Mayinu when we drink the second cup. What we're saying is the second cup, you drink at the end, but it's covering the whole magid. The magid begins with with the gnus. The Maggid begins with the Yavdus and works its way to the Chayrus. So before we get to the last line of the Gemara in terms of Psak Halacha Maisa, what's the machlokas? Do you have the Gemara and the machlokas later on Amoraim as to how to interpret Rav Nachman? What's the Shorash of machlokas? What are they arguing about? Oh, right. Is it or to put it? Yeah, what did you say?
Maybe like an expression. Should you be leaning during expressions of freedom?
So let me try to reformulate what I think you guys are saying. It sounds like it's a machlokas whether the ikar has the hesebah should primarily relate to the process of cheres or the product of cheres. Or if you like sprach, you care about the maisa or the toitzah. And the first two cups are tracing the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Remember, we have a Mishnah later on. There's one thing that jumps out of the Gemara right away is the Gemara is giving full expression to Chayav Adam Liros Azatzmo Kilu Yasa Atam Yeshiva Mitzrayim. That Mishnah later in the parak that makes its way into the Haggadah, not just the Chayav to talk about it, but Chayav to mamish relive it, to feel as though you're going through the Yetzias Mitzrayim. It said, we're going free now. Oh, but we're still slaves. Mamish feeling it. So when's the better time to be masiv? During the first two cups, when you're reliving the process of going free, when you're going from avdus to cheres, or no? Maybe it makes more sense to have to celebrate the product, the finished product. So that is the first day in the Gemara was, now is when the cheres is happening, the first two cups, the process of cheres. That's the most dynamic part of Sipur Yetzias, the most dynamic part of cheres. That's what we're going to celebrate. Or you say, no, it's too early. How are you going to... That we'd rather have the last two cups, which is the Suda and the Hallel, right? The last two cups bracket the Hallel, when you're fully celebrating the fully expressed, the fully realized Cheres. Is it focused on the process of going free or the product, the finished product of being free? And I would suggest it could be, and when we get... As we progress in the sugya, you may see this play itself out in multiple layers. There is a fascinating machlokas Rav and Shmuel later in the parak that may correspond to this machlokas right here. If you don't have a Gemara Pesachim in front of you, you'll have to trust me for now. But I suggest you take a look later. The Mishnah Kuf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph talks about some of the dinim of how we go about doing this mitzvah d'oraisa of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. What the dinim is, maschil b'gnus m'sayim b'shevach. You have to start with the low part and work your way to the high point. You can't just say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out, now we're free. You have to have dramatic contrast. You have to explain and elaborate what used to be, Abanu Yinu L'par B'Mitzrayim, and now we're free. Here's the thing, though. The Gemara is a machlo, that's the Mishnah. Maschil b'gnus m'sayim b'shevach. Dramatic contrast. The Gemara has a machlokas, a kuf tezayin, amud al, between Rav and Shmuel. Where exactly in the Haggadah do we do that? So, chad amar v'chad amar. One said, avar mahinu. Right after Manashkani, he said, avar mitzrayim, v'yotzi Hashem l'kei misham. We were slaves and now we're free. So far, so good. What does the other day say? Mitzchil v'vavar yavar seinu. The problem is, that's beautiful. We say it later in the Haggadah. That we used to be over Azar, Boroshlam brought us out of Mitzrayim and took us to Har Sinai and Kervana Makom Avodaso. The problem is, I think we may have touched on this a couple weeks ago when we were learning Kuzri. The problem is, it's very beautiful, but that seems to have nothing to do with Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. That sounds Mitchila over the Azar Hayavaseinu, but Achshav Kervana Makom Avodaso, that would be beautiful for having a Seder on Leil Shavuos. Sipur Maimon Har Sinai. So then you have to tell the story. We used to be over the Avodah Zarah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought us to Har Sinai and gave us the Torah. But what does that have to do with Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? So, Elamai, several Achronim, Brist Rav, and others, several Achronim suggest that what's going on is the question is, or is Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim primarily about the actual political freedom or the goal of the political freedom? It relates to that Ramban and Amar. Pesach and Shavuos alternate one super yomtiv, and Sfiras Omer is the Chol HaMoed, as it were, that connects the political freedom of Pesach with the goal of that political freedom. The output was was the spiritual change of Mount Har Sinai. So that's the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel. They both agree that those are both part of the story. The question is, Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim primarily relates to the actual Yetzias Mitzrayim or Avadim Hayinu and Vayotzienu, political freedom. No, Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim is primarily about what the Yetzias Mitzrayim led to. So that could be what's going on here also. That, in other words, it's not exactly the same, but somewhat similar. Is the focus, should the Haseba primarily be a rip about the process of going free, or should the Haseba primarily be about celebrating being free? And we're not ready for yet, but once we see later on the Shittas HaRambam, about Haseba, we're going to see, I think the Rambam really brings these two ideas together very well. According to the Rambam, the Sugya of the Machlokas of Kopches, the Machlokas of Kopta Zayin really ought to dovetail very well. Okay, let's just see the last line of the Gemara, and we'll leave it hanging for tomorrow. Gemara says, Halacha Maisa, what do we do? Halacha Maisa, what do we do? Hachi, Mahachi, Mahachi. So the Gemara says, L'maisa, some Amoraim said the first two, some Amoraim said the last two. Idi, Idi, Bawa, Seba. Halacha Maisa do Haseba for both, which leaves a hanging question, which the Ran addresses here. That if you have a suffix and Haseba is only Rabbanan, what you should have said is suffix Rabbanan Makula. The fact we're machmir, we sort of assume if I ask you when do you Haseba, oh, all abrakosas. That's not really the din. Really, the din is only do Haseba two of the four kosas. Halacha Maisa Gemara says we do Haseba for all four, because we're not sure whether it's first two or last two. But the question is, that seems like a strange psak, because why when you say Saf Rabban Makula? So the Ran addresses that here, and then Mishnah Melech points out that there's a Ran who addresses a similar question, Maseches Megillah. So believe it or not, tomorrow we'll pick up with that. That was section Aleph in the Maror Makomos. Was the Ran in two different places, here in Pesachim and then in Megillah, addresses the question, what do you do when you have a suffix, whether to do the mitzvah like A or like B? Should you be machmer and do both A and B, and ignore Saf Rabban Lekula, or do you apply Saf Rabban Lekula? So here the Gemara says, you just do both A and B. And in Megillah, we'll see a scenario where at least some hold, Machlokas Rambam Gaonim, there are those who held, that you do apply Saf Rabban Lekula, even though it's an A or B type of situation. And the Ran seems to say contradictory things. So we're going to work on that a little bit. And then after that, we'll turn our attention to the primary meat of the Ran is very fascinating. But the primary meat of the Sugya is in terms of understanding what is Haseba, what makes Haseba tick, and how does Haseba, what light is Haseba, though the Din Rabbanan shed on the mitzvah d'oraisa of the Leil HaSeder. And it's probably, there are probably many reasons why Haseba is the first din that Chazal showcase. And probably for many reasons, but perhaps one of the reasons is that although it's a din drabbanan, it sheds a lot of light on the core din of deraisa. There are play Leil HaSeder as well. So that we're going to get to, we'll also start that tomorrow after we deal with Iran, by looking at our Pesach into that fundamental discussion. Actually, it's going to be going back to the first four words of this sugya. We will pick up with that Mitzvah Shem tomorrow.